Good Monday. Today is December the 15th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, the Northwest Ohio Biofuel Summit was held last week. We're going to take a look back, visit with Dave Klinker from the Defiance County Farm Bureau, also Tad Nicholson with the Ohio Corn and Wheat Growers Association, about the concept behind starting the conference and some of the key takeaways. All that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm joined now by Dave Klinker. Dave is president of the Defiance County Farm Bureau. Dave, we just got done with the Northwest Ohio Biofuel Summit. Where'd the idea come from?
It was a brainchild of Rod Rethmel and Don Hammersmith, and we got a committee together and we achieved our goal. We wanted to know why we don't have E88 in our county.
Well, a great panel discussion, great diversity, the commodity organizations, the petroleum industry, the retailers all here, legislators here as well. Some really good conversation about it, and it sounds like, from what we all heard, a lot of state things that can be done, but really we need our federal friends to step in and help get some certainty there.
Yeah, it needs to be more of a federal thing. There's too much regulation on it. We need to have Congress do some work on it, and we're going to try to push through the state and federal to see whether we can get something done, something accomplished with it.
Great program. Again, my guest today is Dave Klinker, president of Defiance County Farm Bureau. I'm joined today by Tad Nicholson, executive director of the Ohio Corn and Wheat Growers Association. Tad, we're up in Northwest Ohio at the Northwest Ohio Biofuel Summit. One of the big topics, obviously, ethanol. The whole E10 versus 15% blends with unleaded 88 and really an opportunity there that just hasn't been realized yet. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, this conference came about because I think some Farm Bureau folks are sitting around saying, why don't we have an unleaded 88 pump up in our neck of the woods here? And really the reason is we got to get this federal fix done because fuel retailers are going to be reluctant to really expand the offering until they're assured they could sell it during the summer months. Today, that's not the case. It's a really easy fix that needs to be done in Congress, and today was a great opportunity for us to highlight that.
I think as we heard from both the retailers and from Marathon, it's exactly what you said. They need that long-term assurity and certainty that if they make the change, that it's going to be able to be there for a while.
Yeah, the petroleum industry is here. The retail industry is here. We meet with those folks all the time. I get it. If I was a retailer, I wouldn't want to take the chance either of putting it in and having the federal government not get this fixed. They're waiting for us to get this done. So really, our incentive is, if we can get this done, we know retailers are ready to come in. They've told us they're ready to come in as soon as they have the assurance of a federal fix, and that's instant corn demand. So anytime somebody is starting to use E15 that is currently using E10, that's 50% more corn. That's what we're after. That's what we want, and I think we're ready for it.
Now, you indicated here in Northwest Ohio, not a lot of opportunity to purchase unleaded 88. Other parts of the state, depending on the retailers there, quite a bit more opportunity. Some of the reasons behind that, you think?
Well, I don't know. Thank goodness for Sheetz, because Sheetz is the one company that's not afraid to go ahead and expand the E15 offering. It's marketed as unleaded 88. That's the octane number, is 88. They're opening stations left and right, it seems like, and it's really good to see. But that's not the norm. The norm is retailers cautious, wanting to wait for long-term certainty. So we're lucky here in Ohio that some areas have gotten some expansion in that, but it's if we can get this thing fixed, and I mean, it can be fixed in whatever the bill is, the next one that's moving. And there's agreement by the petroleum industry and the ethanol industry on this. We've just got to get this done. If Congress could do one thing for us that would be short-term corn demand, it's pass E15 year-round.
Well said. Again, my guest today, Tad Nicholson, Executive Director of the Ohio Corn and Wheat Growers Association. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at crop.com. coverage.com.
Thanks, sir. We're going to change directions, talk weather, actually talk about the drought conditions that still exist in parts of the county as the latest U.S. drought monitor has been released. USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
The first U.S. drought monitor of December showed improvement from just 2 weeks prior and from mid-October. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says for the U.S. drought monitor for the period ending December 2nd,
we are seeing about 41.4% of the country still in drought. We are seeing drought coverage down approximately 5 percentage points. We were greater than 46% both on October 21st and November 18th.
Rippey acknowledges the 41% drought coverage remains a formidable number.
We have seen U.S. drought coverage greater than 40% each week since mid-September of 2025. So it certainly has been an autumn where we have been dealing with considerable drought on the landscape.
Yet precipitation in recent weeks has chipped away at the drought number over the fall. What does this mean for those crops and commodities few this time of year in drought coverage? Rippey starts with winter wheat, now in the dormancy stage in several parts of the country.
Currently, we're seeing just about 35% of the U.S. winter wheat production area in drought. That is actually down 10 percentage points from an autumn peak of 45%. So we have seen improvement in the right direction. A lot of that is due to beneficial precipitation that has fallen across the lower Midwest and the Northwest, and to a lesser degree, some of the rain that has recently fallen across the southern plains.
Inversely,
65% of the winter wheat production area is not in drought, and that does include a lot of the key heavily cropped areas across the central Great Plains, including much of top producer Kansas.
As for drought coverage for hay and cattle as of December 2nd,
30% of U.S. hay production area currently in drought, down from a peak just 2 weeks ago of 37%, and U.S. cattle inventory in drought, just one quarter of U.S. cattle currently experiencing drought. That is down from 33% 2 weeks ago.
Corn and soybean growing season is long past gone, but what about growing areas going into the winter season?
We are going in 30% of both the corn and soybean production areas in drought. That is down from peaks a few weeks ago of 32% for corn, 39% for soybeans. Remember, we did have that late developing drought that did have some impact in some of the later developing crop areas.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.